So we are in the last week of our Sermon on the Mount series. These are the last words of this famous sermon where last week I said this idea that Jesus is descending the plane, going from full altitude down and descending the plane, where it talked about these two paths, the narrow path and the wide path. One leads to life, one leads to destruction, and how two fruits are born, fruits that bring life, or fruits that actually don't resemble anything of God. And ultimately, there's two destinations, whether we are rooted in Jesus or where he never knew us. And so this is the final word, the closing words, and they matter. And it's one that we have heard often. It's a final call. And what is Jesus bringing out in this final call? He's bringing out this question: what foundation have you or are you building your life upon? What foundation are you rooted in? Because it has eternal consequence. It matters not only for your eternal reality, but also for the current life you find yourself in. So we're going to explore Jesus' words that Chris read for us. When I was a kid, we had my grandparents lived in Charleston, South Carolina. If you haven't gone, great city, go there. But we used to visit twice a year in October and May. And so my mom, in Charleston, South Carolina, it's on the Atlantic coast, so we used to go to the beach. And so my mom was like, hey, I think she wanted to go to the beach, and she decided to take 8 kids with just the lone one adult and 8 kids. It's already setting itself up for a story there, right? And so when we were going, my mom gave clear instructions. We were all in those old school station wagon. So some of you don't even know the term station wagon, but some of you do. And it had a backward seat facing outwards. And so that was when I was around 7 or 8 years old. Anyways, my mom was giving us clear instructions on the way. She said, hey, because she's the only one watching, she's like, when we get out of the car, I want all the kids on the right side of the car and to wait for her before going down to the beach. And me being me, I was the first one out of the car. And do you think I heeded her instructions? Absolutely not. I thought it would be better while she was getting all the stuff and all the kids were getting out that I would just make a beeline for the beach and for the water. And so I did. And what I didn't know at the time was that where we parked was in a high riptide warning area. And so I was running into an area with this high riptide, and while my mom was meant to say, hey, we'll park here, but we'll go to this other area that's safe. But I just made a beeline for that area of the water. And so luckily there was a lifeguard on watch that saw me running straight to the area that said, warning, warning, warning. I don't read signs, apparently. But lifeguard came. But what my mom did is she was on this overpass that was about 15 feet jump into that area. Like Wonder Woman, my mom jumped off into the water while she saw me and saved me from impending peril. Like that was a very not great area to go in. And so why I share that is because my mom gave clear words. My mom gave clear instructions about how I was to follow her, but I just disregarded them. I didn't do anything but what I wanted to do, and it could have led to great peril on my part. But by God's grace and through Wonder Woman, that is my mom and the lifeguard, I am here to this day, so I survived. But the reason why I share these words, this thought, is because that is exactly how Jesus is landing the plane. That is exactly how he is coming to a close. He's saying, how are you going to respond to what I have just laid out before you? Because it has a direct correlation to how you will stand or fall when the storms of life hit. What you're rooted in, what you're founded in, matters. And so we're going to explore Jesus' words today for us and why we need to respond. So Jesus says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who has built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and it beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. So let's talk about Jesus' construction in these final words. What do we see? How does he open? Well, with this word, everyone. You see, he opens with this word, no exclusion here. Everyone is eligible for the offer that Jesus is making right out of the gate. And what is that offer that he makes to everyone? Look at verse 24. It says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them. Hears and does. They will be wise. It will be well with that person. And these aren't just any words. They are words of Jesus. They are the very words of God and life. They aren't suggestions. They are his manifesto that he has laid before us. They aren't just commands. They are a description of kingdom citizens' lives and how to find true joy in life. We just spent weeks detailing out all of his words. This is the firm foundation where life and joy and resolve that is available to everyone is found. So this offer is to everyone. What else does it show us? It's not just about hearing words. It's about actioning your life, responding and living and doing them. What does it say about the person that hears and does? It says they are wise. That means it's prudent for them. It's intelligent if you do these things. It's sensible. And in context here, it means that they frame the best plan for your flourishing in life. And what's best in this sermon is to act upon what Jesus has just spoken. So not only is it for everyone, it talks about everyone who hears and does, but what does it also say? It says there's rain. The rain falls, the floods come, and winds blow in both scenarios. What he's saying is, heads up, each and every life will have sufferings, trials, and hardship of some sort. The common theme of all of our humanity is not that Jesus saves us and we're all good. No, that how he holds us and what we hold to when these things hit will define how we stand or fall. And what does he say? Ones are founded on the rock. Ones are founded on and built their house on sand. Wise man, foolish man. That's how he constructs this final words. And so let me give you some context here, because we can often read these words and be like, okay, if I build and find myself on the rock that is Jesus, that's this idea of, in our minds, in our Western minds, we think, hey, it's on this rock that's so far above that we won't experience any suffering or any rain or any flood. But that's not what Jesus is saying. And when we think about sand, we think about this idea of a beach. But that is not the context and the landscape these people who are hearing these words have in mind at all. And so I want to share with you a little bit about what they would be seeing in their time and space and how these words, what they would mean to them. So here's a picture of the landscape in where Jesus was giving his Sermon on the Mount. This is the landscape. It's a very rocky landscape, and there's high, tall parts of it, but there's also channels down below. And this is, it's hard ground. It only rains probably 2 months out of the year, so the ground is hard. And here's a picture of what's called a wadi. This is what they would have in their minds as this picture Jesus is laying out for the hearers. The tall rock is what Jesus is saying. The people who build their lives on the rock are the ones that build on the solid, stable top. And when the ones who build on the sand, this is what they would have in mind. Is this broken rubble that's at the bottom of the wadi. When the rains come and floods over, it's fragile, it's broken, it doesn't sustain, it's not firm. And so when Jesus is giving this picture, this is what he's having and the people and the hearers have in mind. And like I mentioned, when it talks about rain and floods coming, because there's 2 months out of the year that is the rainy season, the ground is hard. And so what we experience here, what happens when it rains, the ground absorbs the rain, not here. It's hard, so it runs and it floods and it's fast and happens suddenly. And I want to show you a video of what it is like. So you see, this is rain. This is over a 30-minute time frame in their time and space. So rains are coming shortly. And it's picking up a little bit over time. And it gathers some momentum from there. And it can, you see that rain coming down? And again, this is over 30 minutes of just a little rain happening in their time and space. It gets tougher. And so that was considered a wadi, and the rain is flooding in, and it's sudden, and it's fast. That's some great devastation, is it not? That is the picture. You can cut the video now, but this is the picture Jesus is framing for the hearers. He's saying, hey, you can build your life, your foundation on that rock that is solid and stable. And those are for the ones that hear my words and actually act on them. Or you can be a foolish man that says, hey, I'm going to build my house down below. I'm going to build my house down below on that wadi. And what's going to happen when the rain comes? You're just going to be devastated. That is what Jesus is framing in his final words. You see, you have heard all these words. You have heard all these sayings. You each got the same building materials, blueprints, ways to live and to live a truly blessed life. And these words of life are his. And Jesus is saying, how are you going to respond? He's inviting you to evaluate your foundation in these final words. Is there obedient and actionable fruit because of what the gospel has done, because you're rooted and founded on Jesus? Or are you merely listening and having a knowledge of his words without an actual heart transformation and change? That is what Jesus is saying in these final words. It's a message we've heard before, but they matter. You see, over these past several weeks, myself and other teachers have taught on this sermon. We've set up for you applications, and here are a few of them. Hey, we've talked about this idea of being true salt and true light, and I put before you, how are you living as salt and light in the neighborhoods or circles God has placed you in? Did you actually do anything with that? Did you actually respond and take that and cross your yard to meet your neighbor? Or maybe were that way in the workplace that you ended. Were you salt and light because of what Jesus has done and called you to be? Or this idea of talking about the righteousness exceeds the Pharisees. I put before you, how are you submitting your every daily decision to Jesus to live as he calls you in his power and not yours? Because it's his righteousness. Did you do anything with that thought? Or how are you bringing, when we talked about lust and talked about our sexual brokenness, how did you bring your sexual brokenness to the community or someone in your life that you trust and talk about these things? And are you submitting your sexual ethic to his design and not yours? Did you action and respond to Jesus' words? Or when it talked about loving your enemy, I put before you at the end, hey, who is that one person that you have deemed enemy in your life? And did you actively pray for them or seek out reconciliation to the greatest extent possible? Did you move on that and respond? And Jacob talking about prayer and fasting for God's reward and kingdom rather than man's approval in your kingdom. Did you evaluate that in your life? As I talked about this idea of money, serving money as your master or God as your master, I put before you, what is the next step in faithfulness as it relates to your money and generosity? And I said, maybe you need to get your financial house in order. Did you go to Financial Peace that started a few weeks ago? Did you actually open your hands to how God calls you to give with your resources to the local church? Did you actually action these things? 2 weeks ago, I talked about this idea of anxiety and worry. What is one anxiety? And what did I tell you at the end? I said, hey, what is one scripture that you can speak over that anxiety and worry so that God's truth can speak over the worry in your life? Or last week, this idea is, what is hindering you from walking in the way of Jesus rather than your own path? And how are you responding? I and we as teachers don't just do these things just to tickle your ears, to make niceties, or it's just a processing. No, we want you to take the words of life, which is the words of Jesus, and actually obey and respond. So we put these things in front of you. My question for you is, are you doing them? Because Jesus says you would be wise if you would listen and respond. And we want to equip you this way, but you must act on these words. And that's where, for a long time, I thought I had to put before you all these eloquent words or eloquent thoughts. And I was the one that was causing you to do this. And I put so much pressure. No, it's a Spirit's work in your life. I need to show up and be faithful and deliver to you faithfully the Word of God. But the Spirit of God has to act on your hearts, that you have to submit to Him. And my question is, are you? Are you actually being obedient to what Jesus and these words have called you to? Out of a place of awe, reverence, and amazement of what Jesus has done for us all. You see, Jesus says, and if you respond from that place and are walking in grace-driven effort towards Jesus, when that marriage gets tough, and it will, when that person passes or the situation happens unexpectedly, and it just might, when that money comes in or it doesn't, when that anger arises and it often does, when that person who is closest with you suddenly hurts you out of nowhere, here's what Jesus says: you will not be shaken because you're founded in me. You're rooted and grounded and founded on the rock. It will be tough, but you will still stand because you have traded your righteous standard of living for His righteous standard of living, and His righteousness becomes yours. And we will be rooted and founded in the very character of God. And we, even through these tough times, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness will be how we approach that. Even though it will be hard and tough, we will have hope because we're founded on the rock, living out the truly blessed life that He started the Sermon on the Mount with. You see, in my life, really over this past week, just had seen some broken things that have happened. Last week, friends that were friends down here before had a brother-in-law pass, 38, stomach cancer. 4 kids under 12. Mom, single. From this suddenly, this is not something, it is something that happened over a few months out of nowhere. This just happened. But do you know what I see them clinging to in this devastation, in this rain, in this flood that happened suddenly? I see them responding and holding on to Jesus. It's all they have, and they still have hope. I just got a text from someone from the church I was at prior, an elder from the church that says, hey, can you pray? This gentleman is in the ER and is unresponsive because he had a brain aneurysm yesterday. 42. The floods, rain came, but the only thing that is grounding and keeping us is there's a hope that is found in Jesus. Rains will come, floods will strike, wind will blow, but the thing is, we will stand firm because we're rooted and grounded in the saving work of Jesus, our true and only hope in this world. But maybe you're in this room today and you've heard these words that we've taught over these past several weeks and you've taken them. Hey, those are good suggestions. You've treated Jesus as merely an accessory to your life instead of the main person to grow in relationships that He wants to transform all of you. Maybe you're like, I know this stuff, but it's not translated into grace-driven effort and obedience, but transactional, guilt-driven response. I'm going to give you a warning, as Jesus lovingly does. The rain will fall. The floods will come. The winds will blow. The pain will hit, and your house will be swept away. And the word great here that Jesus uses at the end, it says great will be the fall of it. It's a violent terminology, just like that water that hits at the bottom of the wadi and you will be wiped away. Because when you do, if that is what your life is built on, it's built on you and your design. And when your marriage hits a wall of dryness, you will run. When that situation comes up that unexpected, you will walk in anxiety. When that job goes away, it will break. When something makes you angry, it will then grow out, not just have a response on you, but a response on others that you love around you. When people stop giving you credit, you will seek it out more and it will ultimately fade. Why? Because you hear the words of Jesus, but you haven't responded to his gracious call to true life. You've only responded to yours. And my question for you today, Jesus is landing the plane on the runway. He's saying, what have you built your life upon? And it shows in what you do with Jesus' words. And so as I begin to close, and before we take communion, it's just two things. Maybe you come here and Jesus is merely you've accepted, you come in here, you're a good church person, and then you just come to a service, and Jesus, you're not actually in relationship with, it's just a theory that you believe. Jesus is calling you today, inviting you to respond to his offer that is found, God is inviting you to respond to his offer that's found in Christ, to build your home and build your foundation on Jesus Christ. And if that is you, you've been running your own way, leaning and doing your own things, he's inviting you to find your foundation and home in him, because it's the only thing that will last. And how do we get there? To repent of our sin and believe in the gospel of Jesus. That's the only response. Maybe that's you. He's inviting you to evaluate that foundation and respond. Or maybe you've been following Jesus and you've submitted your life to him and you just have taken these words over these past 10 weeks and you're like, yeah, that's good. Jesus is also inviting you to respond and evaluate that part of your foundation today. And to say, am I just treating this as a service? Am I treating this as a good thing that we do every week? Or am I responding to the very words of life that the person that your life has been submitted to is offering to you? And how do I live truly as he has designed this blessed life that he pours out at the beginning? My question for you, and Jesus is inviting you to evaluate the foundation of your very life. And if it's not built on him, it's going to fall. And I don't want that for any of you. I love you too much to see that in your life. But the beauty of a day like this is that we get to remember. We get to remember that we have been given this invitation to life, and it came at a cost. The cost was originally should have been our brokenness, our sin. It should have been ourselves eternally separated from our Father. But God loved us so much that he sent his one and only Son, that which was most precious to him, to win us back, to give us true life as he had designed at the beginning. And we get to remember and respond to the greatness of what Jesus has done with his incarnated life, his perfect living, his sacrificial death, and his triumphant overcoming death in beating sin, death, and the grave. And we get to respond in obedience with communion today. And so here's what I want us to do. I want to get these elements. So get them ready. And what I want you to do is for the next 30 seconds, I want you to evaluate your foundation. What areas of your life have you not responded and been obedient to? And I want you to make them available for God to change. So take 30 seconds, and then we're going to take communion as a response to the remembrance of what Jesus has done. Paul, in writing to the first and to the Corinthians, he's repeating what Jesus has done and what he spoke. And in 1 Corinthians 11:23, he says this, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you, which is for and has been provided and broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" The sure and good and firm foundation. Church, let's take the bread today. Thank you, Jesus. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant. It says it's not about your effort. It's not about your obedience. It's about Jesus' sacrificed life and broken and shed blood. "Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Church, let us take this in remembrance of what Jesus has done. God, I thank you. I thank you that you hold my story. I thank you that you hold the story. I thank you that you hold our stories. And that you sent that which was most precious to you, your son, your one and only son, to die in our place, to rise again, to welcome us back into relationship with you if we submit to you as Savior and Lord. And to live the life we were designed to live at the beginning, a life in a firm foundation, a life in hope in the midst of trial and suffering, a life of promise and good fortune in a way that declares that we are founded back as we were originally designed. God, apart from you, we are nothing and we will be destroyed and wiped away. But with you, we find ways to truly live as we were designed. And it's only through your broken body and shed blood that we find true life. Help us to remember that today. To that be our foundation. Your righteousness becomes ours when we submit to you. So help our foundations to be rooted and founded in Jesus alone and nothing else. God, I pray that for us as a people, we come together around the one Savior, the one who is the hero, and it's you and it's not us. Remind our hearts today, we need you and love you. In Jesus' name, amen.